you are wondering how I found and discovered public relations, this is the second of a series of three episodes. So let's continue in this podcast. Bonjour. Hello, everyone. I'm Nata, host of the Nata PR School podcast. You're a successful entrepreneur or marketing manager, and you're about to launch a new product or service, or you've been selling your goods for quite some time, but you want to learn how to increase your visibility, get known, and reach more clients? At Nata PR, we deal with real clients every day, and we'll teach you simple, fun, and honest PR solutions. You'll learn easy steps to combine PR to social media right now. Keep listening and let's get started. Bonjour, hello, and welcome to episode 136 of the Nata PR School podcast. How I found public relations, second of three episodes. In episode one of this three-part series, I told you how I found public relations at the Montreal Opera, where I began my career in marketing and communications. So in this episode, I wanted to cover part two that I consider part two in my PR discoveries because, yes, despite of my success in getting coverage for Opéra dans la rue, Opera on the Street, and Opera 1835, those two programs that I created when I was a young marketing professional, well, it took me a while, several years actually, before I really decided to move fully into public relations. Because my first love, even today, my first love is still marketing and communications, even if now I'm still passionate about public relations. So this is why it's extremely powerful to work with us, because I was trained as a marketing expert first. So I do understand my client challenges, really. So I stayed on the path of communications and marketing for a few years before launching Nata PR. So this is phase two. So what happened is after about 4 years at the Montreal Opera, I made a little detour in the world of opera. I went to work for Espace Go, always as a marketing and communications director. But theater was not, I don't have the DNA to work in the theater world. Then I moved back into music very quickly with a company, a recording company called Analecta. Analecta was one of, if not the first, top independent classical label at the time. Because before that, they were like public. They were linked to CBC, Radio-Canada. But Analecta was one of the first, I think the first, maybe I'm mistaken. But anyway, one of the first independent classical music, classical label. So I was again a marketing and communications director for them. And I was asked, I had a special task that was asked of me, and it was to really take under my wing the company's star performer, which her name is Angèle Dubois. She's an amazing violinist. If you look for her, she still is around, and she's really an exceptional talent and really smart. She probably would be amazing in marketing as well. And she managed to stay relevant to her fans and give them really the performances and recordings they want to this day. She still impresses me a lot. If you don't know her, you can look her up. Angèle Dubeau, D-U-B-E-A-U, if you are interested by her work. So I was still laying the groundwork for the Nata six-step model, and you'll see why. Because step one is always to find out why journalists would talk about something. So my first question was, why would they talk about Angèle Dubeau? That was my responsibility, was to generate like big interviews with her, big papers, as we say. So during those blessed CD years, I remembered this little round plastic circle that we were putting in a machine. It's crazy now, and we don't need all those. Everything's so dematerialized, like there's no, we don't have any objects anymore, and we can play music anywhere, everywhere. So in those days, the 90s, yes, CD were like extremely popular. And I remember even Angèle was selling sometimes hundreds of thousands of CD. Yeah, she was an amazing artist. And it didn't take me long to see that, well, one thing was super easy to make her interesting. Of course, she was releasing one CD a year. So I always had something new, which was great. But, you know, sending out a press release about a new classical album is one thing. But these weren't new songs from Céline Dion. Meaning she was not a pop artist. She was still a classical music artist. So a lot of work. It was not so easy. I had to set goals and sometimes do 4 to 10 calls before I got any reporters to get back to me, any journalists to call me back. And this was a time where there were still journalists who covered nothing but classical music. And we had this national radio station, French Network. It still exists in English Canada, but not in French Canada. So we had the CBC Radio Canada that was entirely just music classic all the time. So that was entirely, yeah, they were devoted to classical music only. So we were lucky. We had that. Imagine that. So the updates and alerts were incredibly effective. This is how I realized this is point 4 in our model, following back. You know, the follow-ups, follow-up, follow-up, follow-up is such a big thing. And, well, you know this famous model that I talk about. If you don't have it, for those who are, I've been listening for a good 6 minutes and they're wondering what is she talking about, this is the NetaPR model, and you can download it. If you look in the show notes, you'll see the NetaPR model. It's free. I'm giving it to you. 6 steps to create a PR or even a successful social media campaign. So updates, following up, right? This is when I discovered that, you know, there were many, many sides of PR that are very similar to sales. You know? So PR and public relations have a lot in common for sure. Why? Because, you know, to attract the interest, you have to make a real effort and do some things repeatedly, in the sense that you repeat something, you follow up, but sometimes differently with a smart angle. So it's kind of the same thing when you sell something and you want to attract the attention of a new potential client, right? Very similar, really. And the phone was my best tool. I still love the phone today. I still call people. Yes, I'm probably one of the last human unhurt using the phone. And I would do something very also important, defining why they would talk about my artist, Angèle Dubois. So I would prepare main messages and my secondary messages and I was even practicing. I always left very short voicemails and repeating my name and phone number twice, very slowly at the end. Yes. It's funny, I was listening to a podcast from Amy Butterfield recently, and she had a guest, and that's exactly what he was doing. He had won, I don't know how many crazy international contests as being, you know, the best spokesperson, a speaker. And this is exactly what I was doing. So when he was talking and all of a sudden saying something very important, he was repeating it twice. I think I'm going to start doing it again. So the voice was my tool. And it's funny to think about how even today I use it with this podcast, and I use it to, you know, transmit information. It's really mind-boggling to think about, you know, everything was there 30 years ago. And it was also at Analecta that I figured out how I could get a feature story for a new item, or even like a big feature story. Yes, listen to this. So in those days, Gregorian chant, I don't know if you know that music. These are monk songs. It's always performed by monks, men, of course. And they're what we call a cappella music. So there's no instrument. It's a choir of men, of monks singing together. And they're called Gregorian chants because they go way back to a Pope Gregor. And actually, they are from the Middle Age. So they're from sometimes 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th century really hold amazing, beautiful song. A Gregorian chant was having kind of a new moment, and they were becoming a little more popular. And Analecta's founder, Mario Labbé, that I salute, hi Mario, had this brilliant idea of contacting the monks of Saint-Benoît-du-Lac, the one of Saint-Benoît-du-Lac, less than 2 hours outside of Montreal, to propose a recording project. And it was a first for the monks, and they were like so eager to do this project. They were like so happy that someone thought of them for that. Because why Gregorian, well, it's hard to say in English, Gregorian, chant Gregorian in French, Gregorian chant, as they still practice it today, as the monk practice it today, is just like so beautiful, really, even today, if you would listen to it, it's like timeless. So the record brought their musical practice, wow, to so many people. So they could all of a sudden be in the spotlight way more to way more people all at once. So I was wondering, of course, how I would have this new CD talked about. It was something so unique and so special. And I was thinking of, you know, what would be the dream? Where do we want to see this CD, the monks, and what would be like the would have the most impact? Of course, newspaper, but of course, even today, TV. You know, the newscast was my first idea. And the more I was thinking about that, I'm like, I'm going to call them and see if they are interested to do something very special on this recording. And so I contacted the culture reporter named Paul Toutant. Hi, Paul. It's been a while, huh? Since you've thought about this Gregorian special that you did, this documentary. So I proposed to him to do a story on site during the recording. And just as I thought, he was very receptive and really excited about this project because it's a once in a lifetime, really. When are you going to have the chance to be able to go in, film and record monks singing all together? Not very often, really, because they are very discreet. They don't let anybody get in like that. So it really was a huge success, this TV segment that became a short documentary. It was an 8-minute segment, and it made the album a smash hit, a huge hit, I remember. So this documentary was even an award-winning story, and oh, it got so much attention. So thank you, Paul Toutant, for that. And I'm delighted to say again, like, how my passion for public relations goes back more than 30 years ago. It's crazy when I think about that. This is why I'm telling you this, because if you want to try to do it on your own, see, I was a marketing director just on my own, thinking on, what could I do to capture the interest of the press? So this is why I've done it so many times. I can teach it to you as I teach it to my employees. So get on our list, my friends. Get our free Nata PR model. Get in touch with me if you want to know more. Because yes, it's up to you to include PR in your marketing plan. It can be so easy, so simple. And if you want to reach me, you know where to find me, natapr.com. And my email is nata@natapr.com. Easy, my friend. So this is episode 2 of how I found PR and how I discovered the power of public relations that I'm teaching now today in my program, Nata PR School. Hopefully you'll join us someday. I'll see you in class. But I hope more than that, that this little episode was a little PR break and helping you think and of what you could do to increase your visibility, get known, and attract more clients, and of course, make more sales. And I hope more than anything that you'll be joining us next week. À la semaine prochaine. Hey, you want to learn more about how to implement PR strategies? Head on to natapr.com and get on our list. You will also receive the Nata PR model on how to create a successful PR campaign. If you want to become a client, just send us an email to nata@natapr.com. Talk to you next week. À la semaine prochaine.